Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome. Happy Tuesday, everyone out there in the civic media audience. You're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. Got Evan on the board this Tuesday afternoon. E, how we doing on this fine day?
Man, it's been funny out. It's been mighty funny outside.
Yeah, Zelda's got to like this weather.
My goodness gracious, Luke. Oh, Zelda. She's so big.
Yeah?
She's the biggest dog.
Yeah? What are you talking, 90 pounds?
She's pushing 100, I'd say.
Pushing 100?
Oh, man. Wow. I'm going to bring her in one of these days. We're going to post it on Facebook. Everyone's going to see her.
Remy got to check out for a brief moment. He checked out the new headquarters.
Nice.
He was with me last week when we had to pop in there to drop some stuff off. And he is not 90 pounds. He's a little guy. He's smaller. He's too big to be a lap dog, but he's definitely a good sized dog. He's about 40, just shy of 40 pounds, I think, which I think is the perfect size.
That's what we thought we were getting into, right? That's what we sort of thought we were getting into. And man, she's so big. And honestly, I wouldn't have it any other way.
There you go.
I'll tell you right now.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And folks, it is excellent dog walking weather. So if you've got your furry friends out there here across the state of Wisconsin, you're going to want to get those dog walks in early this week, because later in the week we will be getting some snow and some ice and some sleet and all those fun things that still make up spring here in Wisconsin. But you're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media, broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side for Mad Radio 92.7 FM WMDX 1580 AM on the Shaw, WAUK 540 AM in Waukesha, 101 FM in the Shaw. And around the state, you can learn more about what Civic Media is up to and sign up to learn more. Civicmedia.us, that is the website. And we'll be joined by Dan Schaefer coming up a little bit later in the show at the bottom of the hour, 2:30. Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area going to be joining us to recombobulate here on a Tuesday afternoon. Folks, we are 4 weeks out from the primary, or excuse me, from the general. Scratch that. We are 4 weeks out from the general election. I got to get primary out of my head because we've talked about it for so long here. But that is last month. That is old news. Coming up April 4th, 4 weeks from today, 28 days away, coming up in Wisconsin. There's a state Supreme Court race and so much more. We're going to recombobulate along with other headlines with Dan Schaefer at 2:30. If you want to share a tangent with me between now and then, 844-967-2789. Those phone lines are open, as our friend Matt Flynn likes to say. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. You can call or text. And we got a number of headlines that we're going to get to. So we've got some NFL news, potentially. Potentially. We'll get to coming up later in the show. But before then, we've got a new piece out over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And one of the very important things to talk about, in my opinion, is and this is a recurring theme here on Dueling Tangents, we try to talk about it as often as we can, when government does work. Because there's a lot of individuals out there that say, oh, well, we need to have a smaller government. Government intrusion in our lives is threatening our freedoms. But then just selectively decide not to talk about when government actually delivers.
Yeah, make no mistake, folks. We need it. Regulation.
I'm not saying it's perfect.
No, of course not.
I'm not saying that that everything that the government ever does at all levels is absolutely the way that things should be done.
Just imagine a world where Jeff Bezos decides how fast you're allowed to drive and where you're allowed to shop and what you're allowed to buy and things like that. Regulations are written in blood, folks, and we need a functioning government. We do.
Yes, and being able to have the project that we've had here in the United States of self-governing for 200 and some years now, You have to be involved in your government, and you have to be involved in the process, and we have to talk about these things because that's how the system works, folks. And so I want to talk more about, and this is, again, something that we've talked about in the past year on Dueling Tangents, and we will continue to do, is when government delivers and when good news comes from the government. And a piece written up over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel talking about a problem that Wisconsin has had for a very long time that we'll now see, hopefully, some acceleration in solving thanks to the bipartisan infrastructure law that was passed by Congress last year and signed by President Joe Biden. And I'm referring to the problem of lead pipes here in the state of Wisconsin. Lead pipes are something that we have been slowly trying to deal away with. The cities like Madison, very few cities around the entire country have eradicated lead pipes. Madison being one of them, though. Madison has shown in a case study that it can get the lead out of our water when you go through and take the initiative to do so. Unfortunately, there's a lot of money that needs to go behind this, and not all communities have the resources to target a problem like lead pipes. But thanks to this much-needed bipartisan legislation signed by President Biden last year, there is now an accelerator program that might help get rid of lead pipes faster in Wisconsin. This piece written up by Laura Schulte over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Wisconsin is getting some help from the federal government with the process of replacing lead laterals through a new program. The Lead Service Line Replacement Accelerator Program is aimed to provide targeted aid to states, speeding up the years-long process of replacing laterals. Here's what you should know about Wisconsin's participation in the program and why replacing lead laterals is so important. Now, this piece is a relatively longer piece written up by Laura over at the Journal Sentinel. But there are a few takeaways that I really just want to share with the listening audience because it is such an important problem to address. Lead for decades and due to a lot of lobbying efforts throughout the early portion of the 20th century, lead was in everything. Evan, can you imagine lead being in gasoline still
paint,
today?
Toys.
Paint?
Gasoline.
Gasoline is still the one to me that is the most, like, yes, lead paint in homes was a problem because kids would then eat the lead paint chips and it would be ingested that way. But imagine every vehicle that you see now, if you just take a look outside, busy downtown area or in the suburbs, anywhere, there are cars everywhere.
And it was like a weird, like, lubricant. It was an anti-knock agent.
It was like justified to be an additive to gasoline because the lead lobbyists wanted it in. They wanted to get more lead out there.
And in this modern world, we're trying to slow our brains down, folks.
Just imagine just having these vehicles that pumped exhaust that included lead into the atmosphere. And it's
emission controls. Yeah.
And folks, that's another example of government working. The free market didn't just decide to get lead out of gasoline on its own, but we still have lead service lines across the state of Wisconsin and across the nation that need to be cleaned up because as they corrode, the lead goes out of the water and into individuals. We ingest it. And so to act like this is a problem that can be put off, I don't fully understand. Here in Wisconsin, we've had past proposals get shut down by Republican lawmakers like Assembly Speaker Robin Voss because it would disproportionately help residents in Milwaukee. As if trying to get rid of lead too quickly for the people of Milwaukee would be too good of a thing here for the state of Wisconsin. But returning back over to the piece by Laura Schulte at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, what is the Lead Accelerator Program? The program is a targeted attempt by the Biden administration to address the lasting issues of lead pipes. The program will provide targeted technical assistance services to help communities better understand the grant application process when seeking money from the federal government to address lead laterals. The program is being run by the Environmental Protection Agency and the Department of Labor and will provide assistance to 40 communities across the country, including 10 in Wisconsin. Why was Wisconsin chosen for the program? Zelmer, one of the individuals interviewed by Schulte in this piece by the federal a member of the federal government, said Wisconsin was chosen because of its existence in its experience in replacing lead laterals, and because it still has progress to make on replacing more. Statewide, it is estimated there are about 200,000 lead laterals in Wisconsin, though local surveys in the coming years will provide more firm estimations on that number. In Milwaukee alone, there are upward of 70,000 lead laterals, Zelmer said, while Racine has more than 10,000 lead service lines and Kenosha has just under 10,000. A lot of the lead service lines are in Milwaukee or southeastern Wisconsin. If only we had officials representing the southeastern portion of Wisconsin leadership over the Republican-led legislature. Oh, wait. That's literally in the backyard of Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. Cool. Really glad that this problem has been kicked down the road, because it would disproportionate assistance to the Milwaukee area. And we all know what that's code for. We all know what the Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is getting at when he says it would disproportionately help Milwaukee. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers on a Tuesday afternoon. You can share your tangents with me, 844-967-2789. You can call or text. We've also got a few other headlines that we're going to get into, with one I've been kind of avoiding until now, but we've got some news potentially on the Aaron Rodgers saga, Aaron Rodgers Watch 2023. Really didn't want to talk about it, but we're going to be talking about it because there's some potential news there today, folks. We've also got some updates with what is going on with Spence and the one debate that will be of the state Supreme Court candidates ahead of 4 weeks from today. Tuesday, April 4th, is going to be the general election here in Wisconsin. We'll talk a little bit more about the Supreme Court race with Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area coming up at 2:30. And the Wisconsin Policy Forum has an analysis out for what Governor Tony Evers has put forward as his proposal for the upcoming 2-year biennial budget. We're going to talk about that as well with Dan. And again, take your phone calls, 844-967-2789. You can share those tangents via call or text. This is Dueling Tangents. You can follow the program on Twitter at Dueling Tangents. It seems to be working a little bit better today than yesterday, so we're glad that the kinks are getting worked out over at Twitter HQ in San Francisco. But folks, we're really excited for this Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. We've got so many headlines and more to dive into. And Evan, I can't wait to walk the dog later, man. It's going to be a great Tuesday afternoon because the sun is shining and it is dog walking weather, folks. Stay tuned to Dueling Tangents. We're going to be right back.
It goes through air, Bob. That's always tougher than the...
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. On a Tuesday afternoon, you're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media here in Madison for Mad Radio 92.7 and around the state, including WGBW up in Green Bay. And Evan, are you a big football fan?
I am not.
No?
No.
Any big sports for you, or are you kind of agnostic to sports?
Okay. Agnostic. That's a good way to put it, too. You know, I really don't feel all that strongly. I'm go team sort of deal, you know? When my buddies are all excited about the points, I'm right there with you.
See, I'm kind of the opposite, so I'll watch whatever. I love the sports. Just sports ball in general.
I find soccer, actually, football, excuse me, to be...
Everybody here would know what you mean when you say soccer.
I can watch that. I can sit down and watch that.
Soccer's phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's tough. I had a lot of friends that first got into soccer with this most recent World Cup. It was kind of an off year. It was an off season set up this past World Cup because it was held in Qatar, so therefore it was held in the winter here in November and December of last year rather than the traditional summer months in June and July. And a lot of friends started watching soccer for the World Cup, and it almost stinks if you just got started with it, because that World Cup final was probably one of the best World Cup games you will ever see, and so it is hard to go from there. But football is back in the headlines, and we've got a ton of sports going on here in Wisconsin, and Dan and I always like to talk about our 2021 world champion Milwaukee Bucks, so I'm sure they'll come up when he joins me with the Dan Schaefer, the Recombobulation Area, coming up at 2:30. But there's some rumors floating around, Evan, that Aaron Rodgers, quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, is allowed the conversations to move forward with the New York Jets, potentially fueling a few trade rumors, potentially.
Like, we've been here before. We've had a star.
Doesn't it feel like that?
Wear out is welcome. Go somewhere else.
And shockingly enough, Evan, the New York Jets was where Brett Favre went as well.
As an agnostic sports follower, know this. And yeah, it's on it. I don't know, that legacy is just trying to live up to it.
He insisted that Aaron Rodgers insisted that he was not like Brett Favre in the saga. He played one more year in Green Bay, and outside of that, if he does land in New York, it's pretty identical. So folks, if you haven't already heard yet, there are rumors floating around. The New York Jets brass is flying out to meet Aaron Rodgers today. So this isn't just a phone call kind of potentially flirting with the idea. There's going to be in-person talks and conversations. They allegedly began last night and are continuing on through today. A little hiccup that came up, though, is the quarterbacks are hard to come by. And unfortunately, the Baltimore Ravens, and you may ask, why the heck are you bringing the Baltimore Ravens into this conversation, Luke? The Baltimore Ravens announced today that they're going to do a non-exclusive franchise tag for Lamar Jackson, their quarterback. And how that complicates things, and since it's a non-exclusive franchise tag, New York may be able to go offer a I believe it's two first-round picks then, essentially, to Baltimore to get Lamar Jackson, who the Jets may be way more fond of, got a lot more upside still with Lamar Jackson, his career just beginning, Aaron Rodgers kind of on the downward slope of his career. So that just happened this afternoon as well, which may complicate things for Aaron Rodgers and may just continue this Rodgers watch 2023 all the more longer here in Wisconsin. Green Bay may not know who is going to be under center for them coming up, going into this upcoming season. Quite yet, because Aaron Rodgers, talking with the management of the New York Jets, but also one of the targets of the Jets, Lamar Jackson being a non-exclusive franchise tag coming up for the Baltimore Ravens. So it's definitely one of those interesting times right now, Evan, to be focused on what's going on in Green Bay. And folks, I'm not going to talk about the whole drama, the going to the darkness retreat and all that much. I don't see any interest in that, but the interest in the dominoes of the different pieces actually moving, that interests me a little bit more. So some updates with Rodgers Watch 2023 going on here on Dueling Tangents. Watch.
I like it.
It was Favre Watch for all those years. That's what they called it. So, I mean, he's not going to get a different name for it, Evan. It's going to be exactly what it was for Favre. Just swap out Favre for Rodgers. That's what it comes down to. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You can join me on the phone lines. Call or text 844-967-2789. Talking to all the Wisconsin headlines, including the rumors today about Aaron Rodgers meeting with the brass officials over for the New York Jets. New York Jets. And I just... If you wanted to avoid any Favre comparisons in your legacy, why would that be the one team that you're talking to, Evan?
That's why I refuse to believe it's an accident. I refuse to believe it.
You think it's intentional?
It has to be. It has to be. It simply must.
Really? Because, I mean, it's one of the few spots that could actually afford his contract. And I don't think
maybe,
it is.
And maybe it really does come down to that.
I was going to say, I think it is one of the few landing spaces that would have either the young player or draft capital and the financial cap space to be able to make a move. And so, yeah, I'm a little surprised that he's entertaining these thoughts with how arm's distance he wanted to be able to keep from the Favre comparisons, but they're going to be coming. If he ends up in Jets green next year instead of Lambeau green, it's going to be a very, very easy comparison to make. But I'd love to hear your thoughts. If you've got any out there in the listening audience, if Aaron Rodgers is going to be a Green Bay Packer next year? Is he going to be a New York Jet? Is he going to retire? 844-967-2789. We'll take those tangents along with getting back to some of the political headlines as well with Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. He's going to be joining the show coming up on the other side of this news break. But if you want to share a tangent between now and the end of the show, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Wisconsin on Civic Media. If you want to take us with you on the go, download the Civic Media app. You can jump from station to station, from Mad Radio to the Shaw to WRCE News from the Center and so many more. You can download that wherever fine apps are downloaded, both in the Apple Play Store, the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store. You're listening to Dueling Tangents. We're going to continue the conversation when we get back. I'm Luke Mathers. You're listening across Civic Media here in Madison on Mad Radio 92.7. And join now for a little recombobulation, Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. Dan, how you doing on this Tuesday afternoon?
Hello, hello. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. For how nice this weather is, I'm just going to try to bring as much of it in as I can before those winter storms come back for a little spring action later in the week. So going to try to enjoy it as much as I can.
Got to store up that sunlight in one way or another, right?
Absolutely. It makes the world of difference because I was kind of bumming around the house this morning, kind of a little slow start to get going. And I walked outside and it just immediately felt better. And I was like, oh, this sunshine is amazing. So it does do wonders, folks. And if you've got the opportunity to take advantage of the nice weather that we have, I highly encourage you do so. But really glad that you're able to join me here, Dan, on the show this Tuesday afternoon. We've got a number of things going on. 4 weeks from today, it's coming fast. We've got a general election coming up for the state Supreme Court race, as well as local elections down ballot. Including a special election in the 8th Senate District. A lot to keep an eye on there. So let's kick off right there, because since the last time we had you on the show last Tuesday, you've got a piece talking about one of the two candidates for the state Supreme Court race, Dan Kelly, and what he could potentially mean if elected to a 10-year term. That's how long these terms are for the state Supreme Court. And tell us a little bit about your piece, and let's recombobulate, Dan.
Yeah, so I wrote a piece. I after the primary, I knew I wanted to write a piece about Dan Kelly being the conservative candidate, because that was really one of the big questions going into the primary was who was going to be the conservative candidate. And as I did some research and poked around, and man, there's a lot to write about when it comes to Dan Kelly. A whole lot of different things. My goodness, that guy has done some the weird stuff over the years. But one of the things that I have written a whole lot about in recent years is threats to democracy in Wisconsin. And I think I think this is such an important issue because of the way that the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled on the challenge to the 2020 election in December of 2020. No court in the nation was siding with Trump in this effort, and the Wisconsin Supreme Court came closer to overturning the election in the state than any other court in the nation. And so I think, considering that, and considering the type of justice that Kelly was and purports to be if he were to win this election and get that 10-year term, I think he would be a real threat to democracy in the state. This is a 10-year term that's going to include three presidential elections, two gubernatorial elections, whole host of other things. And if he is the type of state Supreme Court justice who might entertain these outlandish theories of overturning the election, I think that's a real risk to democracy in the state, and a risk that we should not entertain taking with his potential with his candidacy. So I think that was the piece that I wrote last week, published at in partnership with my friends over at Heartland Signal. And, you know, I think there's just so much to look at with the way that Kelly has responded to those, you know, election truther challenges, because he was part of the fake electors plot. He was the attorney that the Republican Party had hired to be part of that fake electors plot to overturn the election. And in the time since, he was one of the featured speakers on the Republican Party's Election Integrity Roundtable tour, which was just going across the state, spreading conspiracy theories about the election. And I think, you know, one of the things that we've seen in the time since that 2020 election is the Gableman investigation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I did some research on Kelly and Gableman and found that, you know, that their time on the court overlapped for 2 years, and no justice voted with Gableman more frequently than Dan Kelly.
Wow.
So I think there is a whole lot to be worried about with Dan Kelly's threats to democracy as a potential state Supreme Court justice.
Yeah, and the entire piece outlines it very beautifully as well. So I appreciate your summation, but for the listening audience as well, if you haven't got a chance yet to read the entire piece or to subscribe to Dan's Substack, The Recombobulation Area, highly recommend to the listening audience, because it is all there. And it is very telling, because part of the timeline of 2020 is the fact that it was the spring election in 2020 when Dan Kelly first went up for a full 10-year term and was handed a 10-point defeat in that April election back in 2020. Then he would, I believe it's early June when the term Jill Karofsky was then sworn in for her 10-year term, and he was no longer a serving Supreme Court justice here in Wisconsin. And from June of 2020, then by November of 2020, he was consulting the state GOP on this fraudulent elector scheme. So he was right in the thick of it, even though he had just been handed a defeat by Wisconsin voters, that he was not the individual that Wisconsinites wanted to serve on that 10-year term. He decided to go and say, well, I'll consult on overturning the will of the people. And so it is very telling who Dan Kelly is as a candidate, that after being handed that defeat, rather than, you know, try to go and do, you could go into the private sector, you could go do anything else you want. He was defeated, but he could go and be an attorney in any regard that he wanted to. And that was the way that he chose to conduct himself in November of 2020. And I don't know how somebody can just openly try to defy the will of the people and overturn the state's 10 electoral votes, and then try again to go before those same voters and say, now please duly elect me to be the Supreme Court justice again. Like, it's baffling to me a little bit, Dan.
Yeah, it's beyond ridiculous. And I think, you know, Kelly clearly played a key role in the Republican plot to overturn the election, and putting Daniel Kelly back on the bench would be a genuine threat to democracy. Not just in Wisconsin, but across the country, because I think, you know, when you think about the ramifications of any role of Wisconsin plays in these presidential elections, you know, we're a 50-50 state, and any little thing matters, and sending him back to the Wisconsin Supreme Court would just open up a whole host of problems.
Yeah. As goes Wisconsin, as our friend Kristen Bryant has her show titled "As Goes the Wisconsin Goes the Nation," it is very telling sign here that we are consistently fighting for democracy in Wisconsin, and the April 4th general election coming up 4 weeks from today is going to be a very pivotal time for our state. 2 weeks from today, we found out yesterday that the two candidates, both Dan Kelly and Janet Protasiewicz, the liberal-leaning justice from Milwaukee County running against Dan Kelly in this race, the two candidates agreed to one debate or forum, whatever we want to call it. It's coming up 2 weeks from today, hosted by the Bar Association in concert with WISP Politics and Channel 3 here in Madison. Do you think there's going to be a lot of pomp and circumstance surrounding that debate. It's going to be the only one in this election cycle. Dan, what do you think we're going to see 2 weeks from this? It's going to be wrapping up, I believe, about 2 weeks from today.
Since it is the only candidate forum with both candidates, you know, I think there's a whole bunch of different things that are going to be happening over the next month as far as just different interviews and candidate forums and things like this. This being only the kind of structured debate between the two, you know, I think that that's going to make it a pretty big deal. It kind of, you know, thinking back to the gubernatorial race last year, you know, Tony Evers and Tim Michaels just had the one debate as well. You know, I guess this is becoming a trend that we're only going to have
one debate
for these big statewide races. So it's certainly going to be one to watch. Certainly going to be a big deal in a couple weeks here. And you know, there was only the one candidate forum before the primary as well. And I covered that one at the recombobulation area. And that, you know, comments made in that forum have been quoted endlessly by the press since. And, you know, that's where Janet Protasiewicz first kind of went out and said the maps are rigged. And that has, you know, been endless, like I said, endlessly quoted by the media, you know, in the time since. So I think, you know, given the rarity of these opportunities to have public forums like this, those can really shape narratives coming out of it. So it's going to be really important.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on this Tuesday afternoon by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area, talking Wisconsin headlines and recombobulating surrounding them. It's interesting that there's only going to be one. Do you think that it is a strategy by the Protasiewicz campaign to limit the amount of these forums? Because Dan Kelly seems to be just handing out flyers saying, I'll appear at any which event. He wants to get his name out there between now and April 4th. Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show, and I had this conversation yesterday on the air, whether or not we needed more than one for forums in this regard. What are your thoughts? Do you think it would be nice to have a second one, or do you think that we'll be able to cover all the ground that needs to be covered on this this forum that will be held 2 weeks from today?
Yeah, I do think it'd be better to have more than one, honestly. And I think, you know, the one gubernatorial debate last year was, you know, kind of buried on a Friday night and didn't get that much attention, and I would have liked to see something more. And I think, you know, there were two Senate debates last year, and I think they were very different, and you were able to kind of like learn different things. I do think the debates matter. I think, you know, people are going to, the amount of people who will be watching those debates versus the amount of people who will be seeing the attack ads that are on during Bucks games or whatever it might be that you're watching, you know, is not going to be nowhere close. But at the same time, I do like a good debate, and I like to, you know, see what these candidates have to say. I enjoyed the candidate forum. I thought, you know, in my coverage, you'll see that I said that Daniel Kelly just gives one long condescending lecture. So I don't know why, you know, anybody would think that would, Daniel Kelly appearance at any kind of candidate forums. Hearing him speak is not going to help his campaign.
And
put it that way.
And that was kind of the joke last fall as well. That Tim Michaels, I mean, probably didn't want any more than one debate because it's almost the opposite now, because Dan Kelly is the one kind of asking for more. And I think it is interesting the amount of people that will tune in to this first one 2 weeks from today. It'll be interesting to see what kind of coverage it gets and the takeaways from that one. But I don't know if we necessarily need more than one at the same time. It's a very brief cycle here, but there are ramifications for a 10-year term. And so I can also get behind more. It's just very interesting to see that it's going to be seemingly only one for this cycle. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents, joined by Dan Schaefer. Real quick here, let's plug, if listeners want to learn more before we head into this commercial break, Dan, about the recombobulation area, where can they go to see all the excellent work you put out there?
Yeah, I published the recombobulation area on Substack, and it is a reader-funded publication. So if you want to support growing local independent media covering news and politics in Milwaukee and Wisconsin. Come find us. Come subscribe. You can get started for just $5. Pretty good.
There we go. And we love that kind of growing media here at Civic Media. So highly recommend going to check out the Substack and subscribing, becoming a paid subscriber. Dan putting out excellent work. We're going to talk a little bit about one of the, I believe, subscriber exclusives, right? The podcast that Recombobulation Area puts out. Is that an exclusive for the subscribers?
Yep. Yeah.
All right. So we're going to maybe tease it a little bit then. We won't give it all away because we want those individuals to go smash the subscribe button, as some people like to say. But we'll get into that and talk about the atrocity of the greatest NBA player right now being robbed of his fourth triple-double coming up too, because we couldn't put both sports takes back-to-back. We talked about Roger's watch earlier in the show, but we'll talk a little bit about Giannis as well. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Tuesday afternoon by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. And Dan, we got a couple of different runarounds to talk about here in Wisconsin. So we'll get to the Giannis one in a little bit. We'll end the show there. But before we dive into a little Milwaukee Bucks coverage, let's talk about one of the other things over at the Recombobulation Area that you like to talk about and break down in a very excellent way. Is the need for a change to the way that local revenue share happens here in Wisconsin. For far too long, shared revenue just has not been able to keep up with the needs of our local communities. And you would think that the party of local control and small government would be a big fan of working to address those needs. But unfortunately, during the Voss tenure in leading the state assembly, areas like Milwaukee and Madison have been stripped of local control in solving some problems. And it's been a problem just kicked down the road. And so the Wisconsin Policy Forum has an analysis, the budget brief that they have put together for the 2023-2025 biennial budget proposal by Governor Tony Evers. And reading from their introduction, the proposal would represent a fundamental shift in the state's relationship with schools and local governments, providing large increases in aid after many years of relatively slow growth, loosening state limits on local property taxes, and providing Milwaukee and other populous cities with the possibility of a sales tax authority for the first time. And so the report is very long. I haven't got a chance to dive into the entire thing, but this analysis, this would be a fundamental shift in the way that shared revenue happens in Wisconsin. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it and any other perspective you can bring to where this proposal may go ahead of the budget talks that are coming up here later this year.
Yeah, this is such a big issue right now as we enter this budget battle. And I think, you know, I think there's the larger expectation that Governor Evers' budget will not be the one that the legislature will eventually be taking up. But I think it is important to just see these proposals for what they are and debate them on their merits instead of just tossing them out with the expectation that they're not going to be part of it. But I think that the local government piece is something that you're even seeing some conservatives come around to. And I think, you know, we have this $7 billion surplus, and at the same time, local governments are struggling to pay for city services, right? So I think you have an obvious broken imbalance here where the state legislature, not only have they been under Robin Voss's leadership consolidating power in many ways over his tenure, they've been consolidating a lot of money as well within that state legislature. So as the state legislature's, you know, power and money has grown over the past, you know, decade or so, that has come at the expense of local government in a lot of ways. You can, you know, take a look at some of the charts in here. You see that shared revenue has been flat and down for 20 years. You know, this, and it's really not exclusively, you know, this has been mostly a Republican problem. Democrats have played a role in this as well. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the approach that Evers is taking to kind of realign things and show that sales tax collections would go back to the local communities in which they were collected, I think that's a huge shift. And as the policy forum says, it would, and I'm quoting here, increase the main form of state aid to municipalities and counties by the largest percentage since at least 1985. So this is a multi-decade problem that we've been seeing in Wisconsin, and Evers is proposing a pretty great solution to address it, and not only, you know, improve the state aid, but also to allow give municipalities the freedom to have some local control over, you know, things like raising a sales tax, which has been a huge issue in Milwaukee and is an issue in Milwaukee that has bipartisan support as well from the business community and from elected officials like David Crowley, who have been, you know, the county executive who's been pushing this pretty much since he was elected in 2020.
Yeah, he's been talking about the fiscal cliff that the county is facing without action like the state changing the way that shared revenue operates here in Wisconsin. And one of the final pieces of the summary over at the Wisconsin Policy Forum, the decisions made over the next several months may well be some of the most momentous in the modern history of our state. So that is what the Policy Forum is laying as the groundwork for how important these decisions will be made for this upcoming biennial budget. And yes, I believe these proposals do need to be talked about and not just tossed away. And it has been in kind of an interesting dynamic. The Wisconsin legislature, I don't believe, passed anything in the month of February. They seem to be very much sitting in this holding pattern right now, Dan, and I think a lot of that has to do with 4 months from today. I think the Republicans here in Wisconsin are kind of waiting to see where Wisconsin voters are, and if they have to play nice and be more bipartisan and try to have some compromises with the Evers administration because they don't have an ally anymore in the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That may very well be the case of what they're waiting for, or they're going to play hardball and say, oh, well, we do have allies over at the Supreme Court, so we're going to play the way that we've been playing this game for the first 4 years of the Evers administration, and we're just going to keep playing hardball that way. It's going to be very interesting to tell, and it just adds even further to the stakes that April 4th mean for us here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, that election is definitely looming over everything in state government right now. So I think once, you know, we're going to have these policy forums and other kind of debates around the state, but the real debate's not going to really be happening in the budget until after the election. And I think the Republicans know, you know, if they bring up an issue like abortion, if they bring up an issue that is going to be contentious and get some headlines and could dovetail into the narrative surrounding the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, that might not help them out too much. So they're just trying to play it extremely safe and keep everything quiet.
So folks, make a plan, be a voter on April 4th. Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area, really appreciate you joining me. Before I let you go, are you a triple-double truther, or are you just not shocked at all that the NBA robbed Giannis of his triple-double?
Yeah, I'm not shocked that they took it back. It was funny that he tried.
It was great content for all of us to enjoy. That's what it really came down to. Bucks and Six tonight against the Magic. Hopefully they can get it done. I'm hoping we'll see Chris Middleton back in the lineup. But I think, the first loss on Friday night in 6 weeks, that's a pretty good... I hope we can keep that going. Here's to the next 16-game win streak.
That's right. New win streak starts tonight.
Really appreciate it, Dan, for joining me. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents. If you missed any portion, go check out the podcast. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. Talk to y'all then.